Today's Old Testament reading is from the last book of Job. By this time in the story of Job, Job has listened to God and he has rebuked him, and Job has humbled himself. And then we'll skip down to the last and the conclusion part of it after Job had prayed for his three friends in accordance with God's command. Now hear the word of God. Then Job answered the Lord, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thought. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I do not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you will declare to me. I have heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then there came to him all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before, and they ate bread with him in his house. They showered him with sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. And each of them gave him a piece of money and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of ox, and 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He named the first Jemiah. He named the first Jemima. I was going to get stuck on the other ones. The second Keza, and the third Karen Hapuch. In all the land, there were no women so beautiful as Job's daughters, and the father gave them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and his children's children 4 generations, and Job died, old and full of days. The word of God for the people of God.
Our New Testament reading this morning from the Gospel of Mark. Let us listen for God's word. They came to Jericho as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and followed him on his way. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in creation, and for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Back when I was in seminary and my Bible and preaching professors were teaching us how to approach Scripture, one of the techniques that I was taught was to look for bookends, that each story, or the technical name is a pericope, but each little story in the scripture has bookends. And between those bookends, there is usually movement. Now, anybody who knows anything about literature also knows those are some characteristics of any good story. You've got a beginning and you've got an end, and somewhere between the beginning and the end, something changes. Well, the bookends of the story we heard this morning from both Job and the Gospel of Mark are that in the beginning, you have people of faith who have troubles. And in the end, you have people of faith who have in some way been healed. But that healing involves a whole new understanding of the healer. So the bookends of this story of Bartimaeus are two things. First, we have Bartimaeus shouting out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And then at the end of the story, we have Jesus saying, "Go. Your faith has made you well." Now, there's a question in there. How does Bartimaeus get from "Son of David, have mercy on me," begging Jesus to heal him, to Jesus telling him, "It's your faith that has made you well"? Well, the answer to this is hidden in plain sight in a simple question in the story. And that simple question comes from Jesus. Jesus looks at Bartimaeus and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the simple request from Bartimaeus is, "My teacher, let me see." But before Jesus can even ask this simple question, Bartimaeus has to get to him. And it's not so easy with the crowds that have gathered around Jesus. I want you to imagine how confusing and chaotic a crowd like this would be to a sightless person. But because he is sightless, Bartimaeus must rely on his hearing. And he hears all of this commotion. But somewhere in there, he realizes that all of the commotion is about Jesus of Nazareth. And he, like most of the people there in that crowd, has probably heard the stories of Jesus. The stories of Jesus' healing and wholeness that he leaves in his wake. He's heard people speak of Jesus as the Son of David, a title of messianic hope, of liberation from imperial oppression. And so he cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, in many ways, we are like Bartimaeus. We may not be physically blind, but we have many things in our lives that we do not see, that we do not understand or appreciate. We get so accustomed to seeing the world from our perspective that we cannot see or feel or think any differently. The way we see the world is just the way it is. Even in our faith, We wear religious blinders that keep us from seeing the healing presence of God beyond our narrow understandings and practices, most of which have been given to us by others as the right way to do it. We're also like Bartimaeus because we are surrounded by a cacophony of voices clamoring for our attention, our time, and our resources, all of whom are telling us, this is the right way to do it. No, no, no. This is what you need to be doing. This is where you need to spend your time. This is where you need to give your money. We are surrounded by so many voices in our lives, pulling us in so many different directions. And in the confusion and chaos of the crowd, Bartimaeus understands Jesus as he has heard others describe him. And we hear all of these voices around us in ways that others have told us and described them. He knows Jesus as Son of David, a Messiah who will sweep in and make everything good. But then he meets Jesus and hears the voice. And the voice of Jesus is not a white knight on a horse, but just another human voice. Another person asking a simple question. What do you want me to do for you? It's a personal question that focuses on you. What do you want me to do for you? And this is where Bartimaeus no longer calls Jesus Son of David. In the story, he changes what he calls Jesus. It's after he hears Jesus speak and after Jesus asks him this personal question, then he says, my teacher. Which in the Greek and Hebrew is Rabboni, Rabbi. Bartimaeus sees Jesus not as some outside source of salvation who will magically heal him, but rather as one who teaches, one who shows the way of salvation within his own life. This is what a rabbi, a teacher does. Shows the way for us. And his response tells Jesus and us that Bartimaeus now knows the gift of healing and wholeness lies not outside him, but undiscovered within himself. And this is the faith to which Jesus refers that saves Bartimaeus. In his blindness, Bartimaeus knows Jesus only as others describe him, but with eyes open, he sees Jesus as the reflection of God's wholeness and healing that begins in his own life. Now, this story begins with one of the most oppressed of the oppressed pleading for mercy. Pleading for mercy for someone he believes possesses the power of a benevolent king. He believes someone else will save him. But the story ends with a liberated man having discovered the presence of God in his own life. His own faith is where the journey to wholeness begins. Now, there's still one more clue in Bartimaeus' path to wholeness, and this may perhaps be the most important one. The story says, so throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. Now, I mentioned before that Bartimaeus, being blind, probably relied heavily on his hearing to discern what was going on around him. But another sense that the sightless rely on is that of touch. I want you to imagine the sense of comfort and protection that Bartimaeus feels when he is wrapped in this cloak. Perhaps he intimately knows the weave and texture of every inch because he's worn this cloak so long and he's felt every thread in it. This cloak is his constant companion, his security blanket. It's his favorite stuffed animal. It's his tattered college sweatshirt. It's his mother's scarf. It's his father's handkerchief. This cloak may very well be his prized, if not his only possession. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and ran to Jesus. We wear many cloaks. We wear cloaks of comfort and security, nestled in cocoons of the ways we have been conditioned to perceive the world. And in the end, this story of a blind man shouting out to Jesus for healing is not really about Bartimaeus, but it is about us. We are the ones shouting out for salvation from someone or someplace other than deep within our own souls. We hear Jesus ask, "What do you want me to do for you?" And we now know that Jesus doesn't come to us as a liberating king or a magic wand of God, but as a guiding light, teaching, showing us the way. A way that begins with throwing off our cloaks. Our cloaks of pride, prejudice, control, piety, empty ritual, the need to be right, the fear of failing, the voices in our heads that hold us back, all of the cloaks of our lives. And when we become cloakless, when we throw off of our cloaks and are vulnerable with ourselves, with each other, and with God, we are finally able to hear, perhaps for the first time in our lives, we are like Job at the end of that story, who says, "I have heard about you, God, for all my life, but now I see you. And I see you everywhere. I see you in this vast and wonderful creation." Because Job has been forced to shed his cloaks. When we run to Jesus without the cloaks of our lives, for the first time, we are able to hear his words, "Go. Your faith has made you well." Our eyes now open, our sight regained. We can see and follow Jesus on the way to wholeness and healing. Amen. My friends, our charge this morning comes from author and spiritual leader Richard Rohr. Rohr says, "We worship Jesus instead of following him on the same path. We make Jesus into a mere religion instead of a journey toward union with God and everything else. And this shift makes us into a religion of belonging and believing instead of a religion of transformation. What we've heard this morning are two stories, not of believing and belonging, but of transformation. And it's in that transformation that we learn to believe and belong. So let us go from this place today and throw off the cloaks of belonging and believing, and discover the healing, transforming presence of Christ around us and within us. Go! Your faith has made you well. Amen.